Chapter 54 Elsewhere. Folly had time to see Madame Puppet point a finger at her, and to feel a geyser of etheric energy smash into her body. Then an entire spire full of pain crashed down upon her. Folly thought she must surely have screamed. She knew nothing except agony, and every sensation only seemed to magnify it more. She felt herself fall, curling up into a ball, felt her eyes squeezing shut as every muscle in her body convulsed at once. She couldn't hear anything through the discordant howling sound in her head, and her throat didn't hurt, not with this new definition of pain, but it tickled a little. It seemed reasonable to assume that she must have been screaming. That thought triggered another. How odd it was that she should have the wherewithal to process such a thought when her nervous system was so utterly overwhelmed. And that thought led to still another. How odd that she should be aware enough to notice her thought process at all. She was still aware of the pain. Pain so great that she would have welcomed the dubious relief of emptying her stomach onto the floor, if only for a change of pace. Simultaneously she could feel her thoughts drifting free of her body's limits, like a length of ether silk snapped from a ship's web floating away upon the etheric currents. Her body, her senses, all remained upon the floor of the blockaded tunnel, but her thoughts weren't there with them. Her mind was somewhere else entirely. She was elsewhere. For a moment, she floated in an empty void, and then she became conscious of solid ground beneath her feet. She looked down at it curiously and found it strange. She knelt to examine it more closely. The ground was not spirestone. It was loose earth, pale and granular. She pinched a bit up in her fingers and examined it. The earth was heavily mixed with sand. Earth. Sand. Was she standing upon the surface? The thrill of sudden terror that went through her was entirely unnecessary, unfair, and impolite, Folly felt. She knew, after all, that her body was being torn apart with pain back in Spire Albion. But nonetheless, she had spent her entire lifetime in curiosity and utter dread about the true nature of the surface world outside the spires, the land of nightmares made flesh. In all of written history, the surface world had been a hell braved only by the mad, the desperate, and the madly, desperately greedy. Though her mind contradicted her fear, it seemed her body had an opinion of its own, and her heart raced. She rose and turned in a slow circle. The mists were thin here, and she could see at least 100 feet, but her cursory survey revealed nothing but more flat, dry earth and a few scattered stones. Then the ground shook. It rumbled and quivered, and she could feel an impact through the soles of her feet. The sound came again, and then again, louder each time. Footsteps. Enormous footsteps. Coming closer. The mists stirred, and something vast and slow and seething with hate stopped just out of sight, so that all Folly could see was a great dark blur. She froze in place and covered her mouth with her hands to hide the sound of her breathing. And then a great voice filled the air, resonant and mellifluous, like that of a particularly eloquent, poised, mature man, a professional speaker.
Report.
Folly hesitated. Whatever was happening to her, it seemed likely that it had not placed her in a position of leverage and power. But at the same time, her body was dying in any case. She could feel her straining heart racing so fast that she could not count individual beats. There seemed little enough point in prudence. And besides, she was curious. She had questions. and answering questions was very nearly always more important than caution. Even the act of asking a question would tell her more than she now knew. If she could indeed ask it, there was no way to know but to try. So she lowered her hands and said,
"I beg your pardon. Whatever do you mean?"
She felt a sudden, awful attention from the thing in the mists, and the voice said again,
"Report."
"I hardly knew what you meant the first time. I've not gained an epiphany of insight in the past 5 seconds, I assure you."
There was a flash of red light somewhere in the fog, high above Folly's head, burning from 3 separate sources.
"Eyes?"
"You," the voice said. "You are not Cavendish."
"Madame Puppet?"
Folly asked.
"Indeed not, and I thank you for the compliment."
"Identify yourself."
Folly bobbed a quick curtsy toward the monstrous figure and said,
"Folly, who are you?"
The voice did not answer.
Instead, there was an enormous boom of sound, like some utterly monstrous airship's steam-powered horn blaring out into the night. A moment of silence went by, and then the call was answered from far away, with more horn-blast sounds.
"You are a potential asset."
"For you?"
Folly asked.
"I do not think so. I'm not a puppet. You said so yourself."
"Yield."
The 3 red lights flared brighter, and Folly was suddenly subsumed in a horrible, ugly pressure she felt inadequate to describe. It was an enormous amount of power, one that quite took her breath away. She could feel it scraping at her thoughts, raking them with claws, seeking something it could seize and use to hang on. It sought to control her, just as she might control a...
"I see,"
Folly murmured.
"You're the one holding the puppet's strings, aren't you? You're the one holding all the puppet's strings."
"Yield,"
the voice thundered. The pressure increased, but Folly could feel it sliding off of her, left and right, and it did little but make her breath come short for a few seconds. She straightened her back and frowned thoughtfully up at the lights.
"Are you going to be at this long?"
Folly asked.
"If so, I'm afraid I must decline to continue. I have an event I should attend."
It did seem fitting, after all, that one be present for one's own death, not out wandering about like a willful child shirking her chores. There was a moment of silence, and then the voice said,
"You are of one piece."
"I hardly think you could have said anything more obvious,"
Folly replied. She squinted, trying to peer through the mist.
"Yet you sought to control me, just as Madame Puppet is being directed, just as the silk weavers are being directed."
"How can you know this?"
the voice demanded.
"I look at things and think about them,"
Folly replied.
"And use my intuition, of course, and deduction and induction, as well as any historical or theoretical models that seem to apply. Also, I was having the most horrible dreams that were evidently supposed to go to Madame Puppet, what I can only assume were instructions of some sort. So I caught one in a web, and the master told me that it was an enemy sending, and that we had an enemy. And what he learned in the dream I caught led us to Habble Landing."
Folly felt her face split into a wide smile.
"Ah, now I understand. You are the enemy."
"If you cannot be made to serve,"
said the enemy,
"you will be unmade."
And the sandy soil suddenly began collapsing beneath Folly's feet. Folly's belly did little flips, and she began to scramble back, but it was fruitless. No matter how rapidly she retreated, the sand kept collapsing inward in a vast circle. She tried to run and felt her steps slowing, bogged down in the granules, sloughing away beneath her feet. No matter how quickly she tried to move forward, she could feel herself being drawn back and down. Sand, Folly thought, was a terrifying substance. She could feel it rising up, covering her ankles, and her imagination treated her to an image of it filling up her nose, her mouth, her eyes. That would be a grim sort of death, smothering on tiny, tiny pieces of glass. No wonder the builders had surrounded humanity with Spirestone. Spirestone was quite wonderful, solid, reliable, durable. One always knew where one stood with Spirestone. No sooner had Folly completed the thought than her foot came down on something hard and flat. She blinked and looked down to see a block of dark rock supporting her foot and ankle beneath a steadily increasing torrent of sand.
"Ah, obviously," Folly said aloud. "My body is elsewhere. This is a place of the mind. In the mind, thoughts are the only reality."
She concentrated on the idea of Spirestone and took another step. To her considerable satisfaction, her foot came down upon another immovable block of black stone. The enemy let out a bellowing sound, like 100 deep, dissonant horns clamoring all at once, and Folly's heart leapt with terror. She began to run in earnest, and the Spirestone blocks became a regular staircase, rising up out of the collapsing sand. She bounded up the stairs as lightly as a cat, running against a current of sand that continued trying to push her back down. She reached the original ground level of the desert floor and continued running, her thoughts building more stairs ahead of her as she went. Behind her, there was another spine-wrenching, bellowing sound of rage, and the stairs beneath her feet shook as something utterly enormous took a great stride, and another, coming closer and closer. Folly did not dare look back, for fear that the sight of something terrible would shatter her concentration. She needed to escape. She fled up the staircase, trying to puzzle out how to leave this place. It seemed unfair that she should have reached it without any effort on her own part at all, only to be unable to leave. She returned to her previous reasoning. Thoughts were reality here. If one needed to leave a place, one went out through the door. She focused on the idea of a door, and suddenly it was there, above her, at the top of the stairs, set against a wall of nothing but empty air. Folly rushed up the last few stairs as glaring red light fell over her shoulders and changed the pale skin of her arms to scarlet. She hoped her theory was correct. Otherwise, she was about to hurl herself through an empty doorway and down several dozen yards into a vast, collapsing pit of sand. Folly opened the door to see what looked like a cloud of fiery red sparks hovering in the air in front of her. The enemy bellowed again, and a terrible shadow fell over her, a darkness and a coldness like nothing she had ever experienced.
"Devour her!" bellowed the enemy. "Destroy her!"
Folly shrieked in involuntary fear and jumped through the open doorway into the empty air, slamming the door shut behind her. Folly sat up abruptly, clutching a batch of little lumen crystals in one hand, and blinked several times. Someone had her arms wrapped around her shoulders, and it turned out to be Bridget. There were also perhaps half a dozen of Predator's crew around her, including Benedict Sorrelin and the grim captain. They seemed exhausted and afraid, and they all brandished weapons in both hands. That seemed ominous. On the other hand, Folly's general sense of herself did not seem to be anything like what she imagined death would be, as an experience, which all things considered seemed a pleasant surprise. It was important to consider the good things along with the bad.
"Oh!" she said to her little crystals. "We did it! We escaped!"
Bridget jerked and stared at her. "Folly, are you all right?"
"Devour her!" echoed the enemy's words in her mind. "Destroy her!"
The enemy had been speaking to the campfire sparks, glimpsed through the doorway that had led from elsewhere. sparks the same ruby colour as the light of the enemy. Folly looked up to see dozens of silk weavers pouring into the tunnel, racing along the floor and walls and ceiling, their clustered eyes glinting with little scarlet pinpoints of light. And every single eye was focused upon Folly. The silk weavers let out a shriek in eerie unison, and then began to rush forward even faster.